Om Shri Sai Ram. Doesn't time just fly when you're having a good time? At Radio Sai, all of us, that includes those whose voices and names you're familiar with, as well as those who work diligently behind the scenes. Each one of us is engaged in such edifying work that we don't have a clue as to where the time goes. It simply flies when we are on an ultimate high, glorifying the love of our lives, Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, and celebrating his life and legacies through our programs. Every story and interview, every bhajan classroom, every satsang, study circle, music presentation is an effort to bring Sai glory to the world. Exactly a year ago, in May of 2012, the team felt inspired to honor our Lord every Thursday by reaching out to our listeners through a day-long live hosting program. Thus, Thursday Live was born, quite spontaneously really, with barely any training, preparation or planning. We dived into a whole new chapter in Radio Sai history without quite realizing how challenging it is to sustain the hosting of live programs week after week all throughout the year. All that mattered was the team's enthusiasm to please our listeners. If our listeners are happy, Bhagwan is happy for us. So taking refuge in his lotus feet, we took the plunge 52 weeks ago. Today, as we celebrate the first anniversary of Thursday Live, on Morning Glory, let's participate in the exercise Hindsight 52. Hindsight 52 is an inquiry into how each host of the various segments fared through the past 52 weeks. Let's start with the first show we host every Thursday morning as part of Thursday Live. Sai Ram Brother Sunil, you host Sunrise with Sai early Thursday morning. How has the experience been?
Sai Ram, and thank you, Sister Karuna, for having me here. By Swami's grace, this has been a very thrilling and wonderful experience, I must say. Because in life, any live environment, there's always this element of uncertainty. And that brings in a very special energy and excitement with it, which you don't find in a non-live environment, where you can take multiple takes, retakes and all that. So live always has been a very thrilling experience for me.
Were you scared when you started off?
Yes, in the beginning very much, because we had started this live on a spurt of inspiration. We all came together and said, why don't we start live this week? And on the technical side, we just gathered whatever pieces of equipments that we had, and with the support of Brother Harinanda Kumar, Brother Prakash and DJ and myself, we came together. We even actually borrowed some pieces of equipment from Chaitanya Jyoti, the hospital, thanks to Mr. Bose and Mr. Jigan Mohan, and actually put it all together. Now, this setup had to run for almost 15 hours continuously from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. This was scary because you don't know when this would stop. This was not a tried and tested setup. So this uncertainty was always, you know, scary. But by Swami's grace, there was minimal failures and he ensured that everything went on smoothly. And eventually, the setup evolved. And in fact, today we have a dedicated setup and a console table for live. And we're actually inaugurating that also today on our first anniversary. And thanks to our listeners' overwhelming response and of course our grace of our dear Lord Sai.
Brother Sunil, what is your prime focus when it comes to listener attention? Because you host Sunrise with Sai till just before we break and go live to the Sai Kulwant Hall for Vedam and Bhajans.
The prime focus of this slot, as the name suggests, Sunrise with Sai, is Sai himself. And the prime focus is a divine discourse by Bhagwan, followed by a selection of songs and bhajans by Swami in his own sweet voice. And thanks to Brother Prakash, our programmer, who makes this selection for me. Typically, I kind of introduce the program and then read out the Sai-inspired message for the day, which I would receive in my inbox daily, and sometimes even get it in advance from Brother Prem, and play a song, and then Sai takes over. And then it's Swami who takes over completely. It's his discourse, it's his bhajans that follows. Therefore, the prime focus when it comes to listener attention is Swami himself, our dear Lord Sai.
After Brother Sunil is done with Sunrise with Sai, the live Vedam and Bhajans from the Mandir come on till 9:30 a.m. Shortly after that, at 9:40 a.m., Morning Glory comes on. As its host, I really enjoy two features. One is live studio conversations because there's such an exciting energy about them. No one knows how the conversation will flow and there is no scope for editing. So as a host, I have to be very alert and also polite to ensure that if I interject a conversation to keep it on track or to move it forward, I do so in a manner that will meet Bhagwan's approval. I also love to announce new episodes of Fleeting Moments interviews because I know how much our listeners enjoy them. But then there are times when I am one big nervous ball, and you know what really helps? Having Bhagwan always present in the studio. His chair, the one in which Bhagwan had sat when he had inaugurated the studio, is placed right next to the console. So I always visualize him in the seat, listening to every word that is being spoken. Saying my piece to my sweet Sai makes me feel strong and confident and so happy. After Morning Glory comes service, Love in Action, at 11 a.m. This is a segment hosted by Brother Raghuram Bhatt. So Raghu, what do you see in hindsight 52? What did you know about hosting a live radio show at this time last year?
Well, I knew absolutely nothing about hosting a live radio show. And even today, I am just wondering how I am still able to host a live show. In fact, that clearly shows that it's not we who are doing it, but it's He, our beloved Swami in us, who is doing it.
Raghu, why did you pick the topic of service as the main focus of your segment?
I was given a slot to host, and just like others, I didn't have any formal training in live hosting. So I just thought I will randomly take one or two files from our archive and then just make opening and closing announcements live and play the file. Only then I realized that the files that I had taken were on the topic service to society, and this topic is very close to my heart. So I am sure the topic is Swami's pick, and I just continue to talk on different service projects started by Bhagwan, that is the free super specialty hospitals, drinking water projects, educational institutions. And I also talk about the service activities done by Swami's devotees and his students. And further, we named this segment as Service Love in Action, wherein we bring accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity.
Finally, Raghu, what is your takeaway from this experience?
From the time I started hosting live show, what I did was, I just took one step, and I can confidently say that the next 100 steps or 1,000 steps were taken by Swami. Well, initially, I just used to play a few recorded files with my announcements being live. Then one day I thought, let me try a live studio interview. In fact, I remember the first live interview that I conducted. It was with Brother K.M. Ganesh on the topic Grama Seva. Well, it was fully planned what we are going to say. In fact, I typed it on a paper and was just reading it out. But now by Swami's grace, I think I have improved in my presentation. So when I start the live show, I just pray to Swami to take the driving seat, and I'm sure He has been doing it always. So I think all we have to do is surrender our everything to Him.
At 12 noon, Brothers Arvind and Prem host the afternoon satsang. Let's start with Arvind. Arvind, how did you team up with Prem and why did you choose a conversational format?
Well, in the beginning, the slot that was given to me, it had a program which, you know, was that time called as Let's Ask Swami. Basically, it was like a conversation with Swami, inviting Swami to our studios, and I really enjoyed doing that part. But what became difficult in that was the preparation part. It was like a question answer session, you know, where I would be asking the questions and Swami would be giving answers, and every week I would pick a topic or a theme on which Swami would give the answers, and for the answers I would go to Swami's discourses and dig out in His own golden voice the answers to various questions. This went on fine in the beginning, but later on, when, you know, more pressing questions came up, questions that do not have a single right or wrong answer, which have multiple options, such as, should I seek from God, or should I not seek and just keep quiet, the Lord knows best. You know, these are questions that do not have a single possible answer. And when we search for these answers in Swami's discourses, we find multiple answers. It was such answers that actually stumped me, because which answer was I to pick for the slot during the live radio program? Which answer of Swami? Because multiple answers he has given. And there is some answer that strikes me as correct and nice and wonderful, which makes me feel happy. But how am I sure that that is the answer that will satisfy everyone? Now, this brought in a kind of difficulty of having a conversation with Swami. Because if it was a live conversation, it's a different matter. But here was I picking what Swami should speak from his discourses, actually. So I felt somewhat guilty and incapable of doing that. And that was when, you know, a coincidence happened. And to this day, I maintain that coincidences are miracles where God chooses to be anonymous. That during the time of the Olympics, I happened to be discussing on a program, and Prem also came and joined in, and we had a nice discussion. It felt so wonderful because there were a few others also listening in on what we were speaking. The discussion came out so interesting that both of us, you know, not actually both of us, I actually requested Prem, asking him, why don't we replicate just the same discussion, you know, on the radio? He was, as he's always, very humble, and he said, how do I speak on the radio? But, you know, somehow I'm grateful to Swami that he gave me the, whatever the arguments, the logic needed to convince Prem that just redoing the same conversation that we had done the previous day on the radio will be very nice, because it brought up two different minds. And here, the best thing about conversation in this manner was, there was no compulsion that we have to come or arrive at the right answer, because this is just a satsang. When it was with Swami, it was like a compulsion that the answer has to be right. I should not misunderstand or misrepresent or misinterpret Swami. But here, it's like a conversation between two friends. And after the first satsang took place, it had not even been named as satsang at that time. The second time came about more easily. The third time became easier. And the flow just happened, and it was something that we enjoyed. The feedback that we got from the listeners was also that they enjoyed. And therefore, we thought, why not continue with this? It's a win-win-win situation where the listeners are enjoying and we are also enjoying. So why not proceed along with it? And that's how the team up with Prem happened. And that's how even the conversational format came in.
Prem, you and Arvind host a live discussion. What sort of preparation do you both do, and is it very time intensive?
Yeah, the preparation which we do for this kind of a conversation style is slightly different from what we would do if we host a show. Because when we are hosting a show, we prepare a script. And, you know, the more time goes in actually formatting that entire hosting script which you prepare. But, you know, when you do a live discussion, we very informally choose a topic, you know, something which appeals to us, something which both of us feel that it would inspire us to talk about. And then what we do is we do our individual reading in that particular topic. We read Swami's literature. And this is actually a very enjoyable part of the thing, because though we are not very, very intensely preparing for it, we are actually expanding our own understanding of that particular topic. And that's very interesting. And then we sit together and we have our preliminary satsang, you know, the pre-satsang, we could say. And most often we actually just replicate that particular conversation on the live show. But the other interesting thing is, many times even we are so bowled over by the kind of ideas which suddenly strike us when we are doing that discussion. And I think that's when we realize that what is important is just to be inspired, and because that's, Swami just inspires us, and Swami is the one who speaks through us. And when we just take that first step to, you know, learn about what Swami has told, Swami's message, Swami's life, I think Swami communicates what he wants to the listeners. And as I said, you know, you can't say that it's time intensive, or you can't say that it is, you know, very industrious preparing for this satsang, but it's enjoyable, you know, the way both of us separately brainstorm and come, and you know, the way we have a satsang, it's really enjoyable, the whole process of even having the satsang.
Arvind, in hindsight 52, what has been your greatest motivation to keep the show engaging and energizing?
The greatest motivation to keep the show engaging and energizing. Well, it's actually something, if I can say, it is something selfish. You know, I often used to feel, I still feel, that if you ask any researcher or scientist about the subject on which he is researching or working upon, it's with great pride and joy that he will reel out, he will speak out so much in great detail and great depth. And I felt that Swami, he has given us this great glorious opportunity of working in Radio Sai, which apart from a dissemination center of his message is also a research center. That is what I firmly believe. It's a research center where all of us, you know, we are being actually paid. You know, we are being paid so that we can read into Swami's teachings, his message, his discourses. So we are all like researchers. And therefore, I must research so much that I know everything about my Swami. I may not practice everything that he says, but theoretically I must know everything about his life, his teachings. For instance, where was Swami in the June of 1965? Or what does Swami say about people having to lead a life between work, career and family? I felt that at least theoretically I must know answers to all these questions. And the best way to do this is to have a program in which, you know, every week we speak on different topics. If we have to keep listeners glued to what we are speaking, it definitely has to be Nitya Nutana, as Swami would call it, that is ever new. And for that ever new, it needed us to be always on our toes, to keep reading more discourses, reading more Sai literature, listening to more experiences, interacting more with devotees. And therefore, that is the only way we can keep the program interesting and also lively. That has been a great motivation, you know, to keep the show engaging. That is, I must learn more and more and more and more about Swami. That has been, I feel, the single most motivating factor for me to find more material. And as soon as you find more material, you know, it's like a positive feedback loop. There is a great urge in you to find out more about Swami. And the minute you find out more about Swami, there's a great urge in you to share that more things that you have found about Swami with everyone. And as you share it and you're exhausted, I mean the material that you have learnt new is exhausted, there's again that great urge to learn more. This looping cycle builds on positively, and that has been, well, my greatest motivation.
Prem, what is your personal takeaway from this experience?
Yeah, talking of the personal takeaway, I think it's the same thing like what I explained to you before, that we are personally so bowled over by the kind of ideas which come to us. You know, many times we would have discussed certain things, but what actually comes out, what actually unfolds is so beautiful, more beautiful than even what we had thought of. And that's when we realize that, you know, more than we are trying to tell something to the listeners, we are actually unraveling what is within. Because Swami says that all knowledge, all understanding is within. It doesn't come from the book. That we can really see it when we do these live shows. Because many of these topics, some kind of dimensions which we look at them, are so different, so surprising even for us. And in fact, when we get feedback mails, so many times we see that is what has actually touched the people who are listening. Not what we would have prepared. We would have, you know, what we would have read and academically what we present. Definitely it has its impact. But what comes as an inspiration, and many times what Arvind says on the spot, what he has not thought of, and what I say, I think that's what actually makes the maximum impact. And when we see that that is making the impact, it also again tells us, reaffirms our belief that, you know, it's, we are just mere instruments there. There are mics, and we are also there as part of the mics. And Swami is just speaking through us what he wishes to convey to his listeners.
Arvind and Prem, how would you describe your learning curve over the past 52 weeks?
When it comes to describing the learning curve, I think one of the most important things that I have felt is that we have become a lot more comfortable doing this segment, the afternoon satsang segment. The first two when we did, we were so conscious about what we were speaking, and I don't know exactly if it came in the conversational style. But after that, we have got to know each other, each other's way of thinking, each other's strengths. You know, somehow, you know, we have discovered that when it comes to the sentimental, emotional kinds of things, you know, that I'm a little stronger in that. When it comes to analogies, intellectual thinking kind, Prem is strong at that. It's almost like as if he's the left brain and I'm the right brain to a great extent. So, in the beginning, I feel it was more like he was the left brain, I was the right brain. But today we realize that we are just part of the same brain. We are just one brain working together, and that has been the greatest learning curve, you know. Becoming so comfortable with each other to speak that we almost feel like it's just one interior speaking as two exteriors. That I feel is the greatest learning curve. And I'm sure Prem will also agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the comfort level with which we both run the satsang now is much better. As Arvind was saying, yeah, one thing is we've become comfortable with each other and we understand each other better now. And the other thing is, you know, that confidence which comes that it's not just our preparation which matters. It's that confidence which really tells us, you know, that prayer which we make in the beginning of the satsang, that Swami, may you speak through us. We have had innumerable examples where it has actually happened. So that gives a kind of a different kind of confidence, not the confidence which comes out of the effort which we have put in. So that has also eased the way we are running the satsang.
Yes, and yeah, of course, I cannot say one other way that it has eased. You know, automatically, Prem will also agree to this, that when we are speaking, sometimes, you know, we suddenly forget where we had started off with and we seem to be running out of steam. At that time, the other person automatically understands, you know, he understands that, oh, this person has either taken a wrong turn or has got stuck somewhere. So, apart from, you know, Swami coming in and helping and bringing out things that we never thought about, even, I think we both are sensitive to each other. We get to know when we are running on full steam and when we are running out of steam. And we, you know, get into the conversation at the right moment to take it on and help each other also.
Yeah, and of course, the other thing is, you know, the more you read about certain aspects of Swami's message, you just realize that, you know, how, I don't know if I can use the word, immature our thinking is, and how with every passing day our comprehension of what Swami says is improving, and how it is never complete. And as Swami says, that when you see the complete truth, you will just be quiet, you know, you just cannot talk. So that's what we see, that, you know, what we have understood of Swami, maybe the same concepts which we would have spoken 30, 40 weeks back, I think even if we talk about them now, our understanding, our comprehension of them are completely different. It's not that it's the best one, but it's, you know, we can see the improvement ourselves.
And that is why how many ever weeks pass, you know, in the beginning, we often used to wonder, how are we going to carry on this conversation for so long? You know, because we have about, say, 20 topics, 30 topics. What do we do once these topics are covered? And till, you know, you came and told us that you were doing a show like this and we had completed 52 weeks, till then we didn't realize that we had completed 52 weeks. And today, we still have so many topics about which we want to delve deeper into or talk more about, which simply shows that it is so inexhaustible once we start diving deep within, and that has added more to our confidence and joy, if I can say so.
Yeah, actually, just adding to that, I remember during the Valentine's Day satsang, we thought we'll speak about love. So we thought 1.5 hours, we'll speak about love. But the thing is, I think we ended up speaking about 4 or 5 weeks just about that concept of love and the various aspects related to that. You know, that was also something where we saw that it's just that, as he said, running out of steam. We might run out of steam, but every topic is so deep, and especially what Swami has to say about each one of these is so really profound.
So overall, the learning curve has been an increase in our confidence, an increase in our ease in which we communicate with each other, and an increase in our faith that there's nothing to worry, because ultimately he is the one who is doing the satsang. We are just part, we are just sitting alongside him and enjoying it, just like a darshan or a bhajan session. When you say fond memories, there are many. But one thing that strikes me immediately is regarding what Prem had said, you know, that when we are talking about a certain topic, out of the blue we seem to digress, you know, either Prem or me starts off a different line of thought, a different thread, and it goes deeper, deeper, and so much so that at the end of the talk, at the end of the satsang, we realize that we have digressed. It happened during one such satsang where we wanted to talk about karma, you know, the karma, karma theory and how action and reaction. Though we started off as karma, somehow one of us, you know, came up with a question as to if we are supposed to get a reaction in accordance to our action, why is there so much suffering in the world, why is good happening to bad, some questions like that. We ended up talking on why there is so much suffering in the world when God is supposed to be such a loving and kind person. It was only towards the end of the satsang that we realized that we hadn't spoken even 10% of what we had actually prepared. We had spoken something totally different and it was completely extemporaneous. We, of course, shared this with our listeners as well. After that, you know, the most amazing thing was in the feedback that we got, one email, came from a lady in Japan, and she says that, you know, she transcribes these satsangs and other programs from Radio Sai and sends these transcripts to inmates of a prison. And she said that when the transcript of this particular satsang, where we had discussed how can God be compassionate if there is so much suffering in the world, when that transcript was sent, one inmate of a prison wrote back to her saying, "For a long time I had lost faith in God. I had felt it was useless to pray anymore. But reading what you have sent, I feel my faith and hope coming back again to me. My Lord has come back to me again." You know, as we read this, both of us had tears in our eyes. We were so moved. We felt so thrilled. And the thrill came not because we felt that we have done something amazing that changed or transformed the life of somebody so far away in a prison in Japan. The thrill came because we realized that what we feel is a mistake or a digression or a detour in the satsang is also planned by the master as part of his master plan, and we are puppets getting that unique privilege to be part of that master plan. That is why it thrilled, and this is one of the fondest memories that I have of the past 52 weeks.
Yeah, something similar to what Arvind just shared was, I remember once, it was quite late in the evening, a friend of mine just walked into the studio. He was from London, and he suddenly said that one day he happened to tune into Radio Sai and he heard my voice, he recognized it, and so he got glued into the discussion which we're having, and then ever since, every week he would very religiously tune into our afternoon satsang and listen. And you know, in a span of just a few minutes that he spoke with me, he rattled out a few stories which we had shared among three or four satsangs. You know, over three or four satsangs. And he said, you know, I had a question that morning and this was the answer which Swami gave in the form of the story. And even as he was saying those stories, I remember that not one of those stories were actually part of our script. Every one of the stories had actually come as part of the discussion, either Arvind would have told or I would have said. And you know, that's when I realized that Swami is conveying what he wants to convey to whom he chooses to convey. The other very, very memorable moment, I would say, is once we were discussing about ego and we were saying that, you know, how it is important to see that we are not this body, we're not this personality we are, and everybody has to be seen as an aspect of God. And we had actually just selected one of the songs to play as we try to separate our discussion with every half an hour breaks with a song. So we had picked up a song, a very famous song, Telugu song, Madhura Mohana. And it was just one of the songs we had selected. But you know, when we had actually come to that discussion, we said, what is the point, what is the purpose of life if you do not serve a person seeing that person as Swami? What is the point if you do not move with a person if you do not see Swami in that person? Actually, that song, the second paragraph of the song, has these very lines. You know, it says that
Ninne dhyaninchalemi dehamelalo, ninne poojinchalemi karumalelalo.
Right.
What is the use of hands if they don't worship you, and so on.
Yeah, what is the use of eyes if they do not see you? And in that point in the discussion, that song had a completely different meaning even for us. And we were so surprised how we had picked that song so perfectly for that slot. And, you know, that day I remember Arvind and myself heard to that, listened to that song with a completely different understanding of the lyrics. I think that is one of the very fond memories I cherish.
From afternoon satsang at 2 p.m., we plunge into the music of the spheres in the segment Love to Love. Brother Chandu Vijay hosts Love to Love. Chandu, 52 weeks ago, when we were planning to start Thursday Live, why did you pick music as the main content of your show?
Sai Ram Didi, first of all, I must confess that when the whole idea of going live on Thursday came up in a meeting, I was not sure that I wanted to be a part of it. And the reason being, I was quite scared of the whole idea because I had just joined Radio Sai a few months back then, and I had not recorded even one radio program. So doing the first radio program as a live program was very scary to me. So it was basically a brother of mine who suggested in the meeting that let Chandu do a program. And when my name came up initially, I was a bit scared. But then I thought, okay, let me give it a try. In my name has anyway now come up. Let me give it a try. So then we had another meeting where we thought, before we go live, let's do a trial run of the entire show so that we make sure that the equipments that we have is sufficient and is good to go live. So during that trial in the meeting, another brother of mine suggested to me that why don't you do a program based on music, because he knew that I was very interested in music, especially Western music. So that's how Love to Love basically came into being. So we did the trial. It went on well. Basically, that for the trial, I took an album of Shri Ajneesh, who is an alumni of our university. So I played his songs and I spoke some stories and some incidents or some nice things based on the theme of the song. So that's how the first Love to Love happened. So that went on well, and I thought, okay, this sounds good. Why don't I do it? Follow this format for the live radio, Thursday Live, Love to Love.
How is the response to this program?
I think in general for Thursday Live, the listener feedback was tremendous. We got a lot of feedback mails, but other than that, a lot of people told me personally or messaged me by email or Facebook telling me that the Thursday Live was such a wonderful thing for them, and it is something which they never miss in their lives. And I'm talking about people who has not written any feedback mail directly to Radio Sai, you know. So we come to know officially just the tip of the iceberg, if you can call it that way. So, but in specific to Love to Love, I must say I was personally very touched by the listener feedback. I think it is Swami's grace that all our listeners are very forgiving and they're very generous with their praises. Even though I know that the program what I was doing was really not something that great. You know, we were just putting our humble efforts. We, as you said very correctly, we had absolutely no formal training in radio, putting up radio programs. What I did for myself was, after I started doing the live shows, I started really listening to radio. You know, I started listening to BBC, NPR, and to see how they present songs or how they interview people. It was an amazing learning experience for me. I must thank all the listeners for their very kind feedback mails that they sent after the program. And I think I should speak a little bit about how we can see Swami's hidden hand in everything that happens here. You know, after all, this is his radio. You know, when we planned out the Thursday Live, we did not say that, okay, here is the afternoon satsang, which is going to be very philosophical and very heavy on people's mind and head. So after that, let's have something light, something very musical for them. We didn't think that way. You know, we just put the program as per our convenience. But from the feedback mail, some of the listeners wrote telling, it is amazing that Love to Love comes immediately after afternoon satsang, because afternoon satsang is such a heavy program, means a lot of discussion, heavy on, by heavy I mean heavy on your mind and your head, you know. You're thinking a lot during the afternoon satsang. After that, Love to Love is a very light program. It's mainly music, interspersed with very little talking. Of course, that has changed a bit now, but initially when Love to Love started for close to 8 to 9 months, it was just mainly a music-based show. So even though we didn't plan it that way, it just happened that way. If it is not Swami's hand, then what it is? So I really thank all the listeners for their very loving and kind feedback mails.
Chandu, what does it take to keep the show live and exciting each week?
You know, something that happened with Love to Love. Now again, this is not something which I planned. This is how Love to Love evolved. So again, as I said, it's all Swami's doing. Initially when I started, Love to Love was, as I said before, it was just a program where I played close to 16 songs, and in between the songs I would speak for 2 or 3 minutes or close to 5 minutes maximum on different topics. When I started, it was basically I would speak on the theme of the song. Later, after a few months, I started telling some stories in between the songs. Stories related to experiences by devotees, or stories based on Swami's life, or stories, the Chinnakatha stories. I would tell, or stories that Swami would have narrated in a private session that he gave to students, or in interview sessions. I would narrate these beautiful, touching incidents in between the songs. And after a few months, it again evolved where I thought I should do theme-based programs. So I would take up a virtue, for example. I would take up honesty. And then what I would do is I would play, if I play 16 songs, in between the songs, I would build up this theme. You know, I would start from what is honesty, you know, what is the common understanding of honesty, to what Swami says is honesty. And that would be the final. The final word would be of Swami. So I did that for a few months again, based on different themes. I started off with the four human values, Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema. And then I went on to take up these virtues. And one fine day, I was listening to one of the American radios, and I heard this program called The Movie You Would Love to Watch a Million Times. And when I heard this program, I felt, wow, I think this would be a nice thing to replicate in our radio. Because this is, mine is a music-based program, and something that every Sai devotee loves is bhajans. So I thought, why can't I do a program titled The Bhajan that you would love to listen to a million times? So now my program involved from playing just songs and me talking to a program where I could interact with the audience. And I think this was a big turning point in the evolution of Love to Love, and I really thank Swami for planting that idea into my head, because that's when I really started interacting with the audience, and audience would send me feedback, and audience would request a song, and they say, this is the bhajan that I would love to listen to a million times, and these are the reasons why I love this bhajan so much. By now, it was like, you know, it was close to 10 months since Love to Love started, the Thursday Live started, and I gained some confidence by now, and I thought, okay, it is time to have some conversations in the show. That's how it evolved. Now I did three interviews, or four, quite long conversations. Well, first one was with Brother Sai Krishna of Radio Sai. Then I had a conversation with Brother Suresh Rao sir of Radio Sai. Then I had a conversation with CG Sai Prakash of Radio Sai. And that was my last show. So that's how I am keeping the program alive. So if you ask me what I am doing to keep the program interesting and lively, I think the answer would be, I keep changing what I do in the program. It is still a music-based program, but how I present it, I keep changing every few months.
In hindsight 52, when you look back, How do you think you managed to survive a year of hosting without any formal training in broadcast journalism, especially live hosting?
To answer the last question, now, you know, I think the way you frame the question is very interesting. You say that how I managed to survive, and it is very true. It was really, I feel that I have survived 1 year of hosting a live show without any formal training in broadcast journalism and in live hosting. If I have to answer that question in one word, I would say the answer would be grace. Because I really see no other explanation as to how I could have survived 1 year. Initially, I was very hesitant to join the live radio team because since I had zero experience, forget live hosting, I have not done even a single radio program in my life. Okay, so to do the first radio program as a live program, it was a tremendous challenge when it started. But to repeat what I said before, it is Swami's radio and he's the one who is running the show. We are all just puppets in his hands. So I think that should explain how I survived 1 year without any formal training in live hosting. But of course, you know, they say that you should do your best and God will take care of the rest. So one thing that I did after I started doing the live show was to continuously listen to live radio and to radio stations across the world. One station that I used to listen very frequently after I started doing the live show was NPR, that is National Public Radio. It's an American radio. I used to really like one show, particular show from it, and I must confess that it had tremendous impact on the way I present my shows.
At 3:30 p.m., we bring you a live show in Telugu, Sri Satya Sai Sandesh Jari. Brother Ganesh, Brother Sai Prasad and Brother Sai Krishna from the Telugu team have hosted this show over the past 52 weeks. Brother Ganesh, tell us, what is the centerpiece of your live show?
Sai Ram Sister Karuna, at the outset, I offer my gratitude and love to our beloved Swami and deepest thanks to all the listeners without whose encouragement and prayers all this would not have been possible. To answer your question is a bit difficult, but all the more interesting. The name itself of our program, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jari, explains it all, which means that the eternal flow of the divine message of our Lord. I just want to share a small experience regarding this. When I first joined the Telugu team in Radio Sai, I came across a photograph which was created by Swami to a group of MBA students in 1989. And in that picture, Swami was there on two sides. On the left side, Swami is explaining something, and Swami on the right side is listening keenly to what he was telling. And Swami, while giving that photograph, explained to the boys that Swami is talking and Swami is listening in this photograph. And continued to say, in future, you will be talking and Swami will be listening. What a profound statement it was. And whenever we go on air, I just keep reminded of this particular explanation which Swami had told. Because I have it right in front of my computer always while broadcasting any program. Because we wholeheartedly believe that it is Swami alone who is listening through all our listeners. And coming to our programs as such, we do have a lot of variety ranging from Swami's discourses to interviews to music-based programs to children's programs as well as health-related programs. And you just get all the variety that you can think of.
How are the listeners responding to it?
Yes, the listeners do respond well with their invaluable feedback, which continuously makes us introspect and be on our toes. And the margin for error, of course, it's very, very less. Yeah, we did undergo a lot of variations in our programs and to make it interesting to the listeners and also to make the content more appealing. In the beginning, Brother Sai Krishna and myself used to host the show together. And slowly after some time, we started hosting the show alternative weeks. And now Brother Sai Prasad has also joined our team and he too is contributing to the live shows. And to explain more about our programs, we are always trying to cater to the needs of the listeners, but the underlying principle being Swami's literature and discourses. One most important thing that we have to remember as we do our programs, that what we do is very, very minute, because the treasure which Swami had left behind for all of us itself takes our entire life to go through. And we just have to make it in a capsule form so that the listeners can enjoy the divine nectar which Swami had given to all of us.
Are your listeners limited to India, or does it include the Telugu-speaking diaspora around the world?
Yeah, we do have a wide range of listeners throughout the globe, and it's interesting to know that most of our feedback comes from our overseas listeners.
The Telugu show is followed by the Vedam Tutor, again hosted by Brother Ganesh. Ganesh, this show is very popular as it teaches our global listeners to chant the Vedas correctly and also to understand their meaning. How have you designed this show?
Actually, designing this show is not so difficult, because the learning process that we followed in our college and the hostel, where the guru sits and chants and the students repeat, we thought is the best possible way. And by Swami's grace, that's working out well.
Over the past 52 weeks, what all have you taught the listeners, Ganesh?
Sister Karuna, actually, your question that what have I taught the listeners is wrong, I feel. Because it was more of a learning for me rather than for the listeners. Because the preparation that goes on for every class is tremendous, as I have to first be perfect before I go on to teach. I have corrected so many of my mistakes during this process, and we did learn a lot of basic Vedic mantras like Ganapati Adharva Sirsham, Durga Suktam, Narayan Suktam, Purusha Suktam, Darudram, and we also had some experienced people sharing their knowledge with all of us regarding the right ways of chanting, pronunciation, etc.
In hindsight 52, what are some of the changes you have made based on the feedback and your own experience?
The last 52 weeks indeed was a major learning period personally for me, both in the Telugu segment as well as the Vedam Tutor, because I strongly believe that without following, we should not speak. And most of the time, I try to practice whatever I am trying to convey to the listeners. And a lot of reading of Swami's literature has helped me change my perspective and also be more positive. And above all, Swami alone is the doer. That constantly we have to keep reminding ourselves. We are just small instruments. We just have to be in tune with Swami. That's all. Sai Ram.
After the Vedam Tutor, we cut to the Sai Kulwant Hall to bring you the Vedam and Bhajans as they are happening in real time every single day. 6:45 p.m. The very popular Bhajan Tutor is hosted by Brother Bishu Prushti. Let's talk to Bishu. Bishu, what is the aim of this live classroom?
Well, Bhajans have been such an important part of Bhagwan's mission right from the time he declared his avatarhood. We all know how on 20th October 1940 when Swami declared that I am Sai Baba, actually even before that, he used to sing bhajans, to lead the Pandari Bhajan group, and his mission started with the Bhajan Manasa Bhajari Guri Charanam, and since that time bhajans have been such an integral part of Bhagwan's mission, part of the ashram's life. I don't think there is ever any day in Prashanthi Nilayam when there was no bhajan. Given the importance that Swami has laid on bhajan singing, I thought, how much ever we stress on the importance of devotional singing and congregational singing, it is not enough, because the power of congregational group singing is immense, and Bhagwan has mentioned about this in so many discourses. We do not know how it can cleanse and purify not only ourselves and our surroundings, but actually eventually of the entire world. So given all this, it is really important that we do bhajans in a manner that Bhagwan prescribed and directed us to do. And many times we feel that bhajan singing is only about learning the tune and just going and leading the bhajans. It is not that. There is so much to it. And that is the reason why we started this program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom, wherein we have wanted to convey to the best manner possible whatever Bhagwan has shared about bhajan singing and the various aspects of bhajan singing. And I think given that was the aim, it of course did not start off that way, but eventually it has grown to incorporate many things that Bhagwan has shared, and I think people are liking it. That was the objective, and that still remains the objective, to help listeners know that bhajans is a spiritual endeavor, and know it and do it in a manner that is most fruitful, in a manner that is most pleasing, and in a manner that is a fit offering to the Lord.
In hindsight 52, how has the program evolved in its content and presentation?
Yes, the program has evolved quite a lot. It started off as a 10-minute program 2-3 years ago, and at that time we just used to share the tune and give a very brief explanation of the meaning in just one line. And you know, from then on, the 10-minute program has really come a long way. Now it is a 45-minute program, and we have incorporated into it many aspects of bhajan singing, all those things that Bhagwan talks about, bhava, raga and tala. We have explanation of the raga now, we mention about the beat now, and we go into details of every word of the bhajan, what it conveys, and what has Bhagwan shared about this, in what perspective should we sing this bhajan, what should be our outlook. And we also in the end have conversations with members of the Prashanti Bhajan group, because this group has been really immensely blessed with plenty of divine interactions with Bhagwan. The bhajan group always had the opportunity to sit right in the front in every session in Sai Kulwant Hall or Trey Vrindavan or Sai Shruti or wherever. So they have had really very precious moments with the Lord, and a lot of it is related to singing and bhajans and how music can take us to the Lord. So we are trying to bring in, document all this and share all this, so that this program provides a comprehensive offering of everything to do with bhajans. And I hope to some extent we have achieved that. It is now a 45-minute program, as I mentioned, and many times actually it exceeds that time. And just to stick to that grammar of 45 minutes, we somehow cut it down and ensure that it doesn't exceed 45 minutes. But you know, every time you take up a bhajan, there is so much to share. Actually, 45 minutes is also not enough. I don't know, eventually we'll be increasing the span, but for now, we just want to stick to this grammar of 45 minutes. Yes, so definitely it has evolved a lot, and by Swami's grace, we hope to even take it further as the days go by.
What is the listener feedback to such a detailed explanation of each bhajan?
Well, one of the reasons why the program has evolved in this manner over these years is because of the listener's feedback. In fact, it has been such encouraging feedback. We have incorporated many of the suggestions that the listeners have given in the last 2-3 years, and that is the reason why the program has evolved. The listeners have suggested to us that they would be happy to know about the raga, and that's how we started giving detailed explanation of the raga. You know, we started now giving swaras of every line of this bhajan. What are the different notes? That really helps people who want to play this bhajan on different instruments. So every improvement that we have done in this program is only because of the feedback that we have got from listeners. And I'm really thankful to all the listeners for their feedback and their encouraging emails. And in fact, that is one of the reasons why we continue this program and we continue to strive to better this program.
How hard has it been to produce 52 lesson plans over the past 52 weeks?
Yes, it has been hard, but I would say that it has been also very enjoyable. The last 1 year since we started Thursday Live, you know, this program has expanded, as I was mentioning, into a 45 minutes program. And so there are many elements to this program and there are a lot of people also involved now in every episode of Bhajan Classroom. So yes, it has been sort of challenging trying to ensure that, you know, every offering of Bhajan Classroom is complete and it's really a very beautiful package, not only for learning, but just even for listening. It's for someone who wants to listen, how to learn to sing a bhajan. For him, it is an enriching experience. But even for those who are not so much into singing, even for them, I think it's a very learning experience. And if someone who is not even concerned with bhajans, for him, it is just a nice program. It's just a pleasant program. We've been thinking in all these dimensions. So I think, yes, it has been hard, but as I mentioned, we always felt happy doing it. And I should also mention that there are a lot of people involved in this program. You have so many radio staff volunteers who have really contributed generously towards this program. You have this volunteer Sai Youth from Chennai, Aarti Krishnan, who has taken a lot of interest in this program. And she, in fact, in the initial years, in the first two years actually, I used to do the entire scripting, you know, doing a lot of research about what Bhagwan has said about every aspect of the bhajan or every name of the Lord that we chant in every bhajan. It was a very beautiful experience, you know, because you unearth so many beautiful things that Swami has said. But after a while, you know, because I was doing that for nearly 100 weeks, and you know, you get to a point where, can I offer something fresh? And that is the point where, you know, I was hoping someone else would come along and help. So that there is a different perspective. There is some freshness. So that really did happen. This sister Aarti Krishnan, she came forward and she has been doing the scripts. So there is a lot of new things that probably I wouldn't have found out. But different mind will bring in very new perspectives. Because when the goal is same, to offer it to Bhagwan and we ensure that the bhajan experience for every person who's involved in bhajan singing becomes a really a spiritual experience. That is the goal of this program. So when you have so many people attuned to that, you know, the ideas that they come up with are also beautiful. So I'm really thankful to so many people who are involved in this program. You know, you have Ravi Kumar sir, who's a legend in singing in Puttaparthi, who comes to the studios and does the recording. And along with my colleague Anirudh for the tune, and then you have all the sound engineers, Abhishek, Sunil and Yatharta, all of them really give their time to make this program, because to edit every part of the program does take time. So it is not just one or two person doing it, it's happening because it's actually an entire team effort. A lot of people are involved. Sometimes their names does not get mentioned. Some people want to be anonymous. But all I'm saying is, yes, it has been difficult, but it has been very enjoyable for the simple reason that Swami is helping. Swami is helping in so many ways, through so many people. And that is the reason why we've been able to do and offer whatever we have been doing till now.
Dear listeners, earlier, Bhajan Tutor was followed by a live Hindi program which has recently been replaced by SMN, Shavanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam, a series based on Bhagwan's Divine Discourses from the 1990 summer course. We conclude Thursday Live in the evening with a segment called Outside, Inside and Deep Inside from 8:30 p.m. onwards. Once again, this segment is hosted by Radio Sai's Bishu Prushti. Brother Bishu, what was the goal that you set out for this segment?
I would say the goal of this segment is to convey Swami's message. If you look around the world today, it is beset with so many problems. And every day you pick the newspaper or you switch on the TV, there are plenty of news that do not really encourage you. And if we see our surroundings, if we see our society, there definitely are many maladies that the society is afflicted with, and many times we box spirituality into just devotion to our bhajan singing and to the little seva that we do. And in fact, Swami's message is actually so grand and it is so profound, and it is actually the source of all the solutions that mankind faces today. And I just thought that we should have a program which gives this perspective, so that we know we can take Swami's message and see how it can help to make the society a better place, not just, you know, our individual sadhana, or just, you know, I just do a little more meditation or I do more bhajan singing. That is fine, but the message has to reach out, and people really have to know how the message is so profound that it can actually change society in such a dramatic way. In fact, that was the grand goal, that, you know, all the problems that we see today are, as they say, problems that have started from the head. All the man-made problems, and the solution lies in the heart. And I thought if we can have a program which helps in some way for people to understand what is happening outside, why it is happening outside, and how we can take Swami's message and make our lives better, make our surroundings better, and make this world a better place. I think that was the goal, the thinking behind also why naming it Outside, Inside, and Deep Inside. Because when you look at world outside, there is plenty which many times may not make you feel so good. However, the answer to those problems is to look inside. As Swami says, you know, even the acronym SAI means see always inside. So the solutions to all the problems are in the heart. You look around with your head and your eyes, but you have to look inside, because there lies the solutions. There's a reason why we call it Outside, Inside, and Deep Inside, because ultimately you have to go even further down, you know, even go further within, because that is where lies the that reservoir of peace, of tranquility, of that perennial happiness that, you know, every man is in constant quest of. So all that is there within us, you know. We should not be really disillusioned or disheartened by what is happening outside. We should look at that, but, you know, learn to open the inner eyes, see it from the inner perspective. Everybody has to have some element of introvertness. That is very essential. You know, today in this world, we don't really encourage people to become introvert. In fact, becoming an introvert is almost seen as a person who is, you know, sort of incompetent, and that kind of a perspective you get people. But some amount of introspection is such a vital element in every personality, and that really helps for one person to think and see what the root of the problem is. So that is the whole purpose, that even when we see so many things outside, we have to know how to see within and see through the right lens, and then go deep within. There you will find that oasis of love, and that spring of love and of peace and of happiness, which can always ensure that we are never ever really shaken too much by the vicissitudes of life. And not only we are happy, but our happiness is uninterrupted, and it also expands, our love spreads to everybody around. So as I was mentioning, the purpose is to see what is happening outside. So that's why, you know, many of the episodes of Outside, Inside, and Deep Inside have been to do with the current issues and problems, and some things that people can relate to very easily. For example, you know, we had, when 9/11 happened, we had a program on 9/11. And this year is the 150th anniversary of Swami Vivekananda. So we had a program on what was the message of Vivekananda and how so important it is in current times, and, you know, how Swami inspired Vivekananda in that era, and how it's the same message even now, and how it's so relevant now. Similarly, you know, when the Tyagaraja Aradhana came up, the lot of musicians who, music lovers who adore Tyagaraja during this time, and Swami was such a, we are so fond of Tyagaraja and Tyagaraja Kriti. So we had a program on Tyagaraja. And then, you know, we had programs on business and ethics. Every now and then you hear about how some business or a group of businessmen have colluded and brought so many stakeholders down the spiral in terms of their trust, in terms of their financial losses. So every now and then you hear about some corruption in business, corruption in the government. So we thought we should somehow bring out how values and ethics are so important. So we had 2-3 programs wherein we talked about this. You know, we talked about so many students of Bhagwan's University who are in the world outside and who are trying to follow values and how it has benefited them, and how we have to get over that that fallacy that, you know, if you want to grow in this world, you have to cut corners, you have to all the time be competitive and aggressive. Not necessarily. There is space for cooperation, there is space for sticking to your own principles and not compromising on your values. So we've been having programs of that nature. You know, whenever we've not been able to do it to 100%, but whenever it was possible to take something and convey how so important it is to, especially we have done something to do with education, we have done something to do with healthcare. So we talked about how currently the healthcare system needs so much of reform. And here you have Bhagwan setting up hospitals and giving this unique philosophy of healthcare. So we had programs of how there is this mobile hospital which goes into the villages, and how students from the Cambridge University came to study what is happening here and how they are taking this philosophy to their countries, to their prestigious institution. So that is what we've been trying to do, convey this philosophy of Sai ideal healthcare, Sai ideal educare and socio-care, and related to what is happening today in the world. Apart from that, in outside, inside, deep inside, what we also have been trying to do is also focus on the events of Prashanti Nilayam. For example, if it is Shivaratri, then we had a discussion about, you know, about Lord Shiva, the different attributes that made Lord Shiva and how we could see those attributes in Swami. So there have been certain programs which are topical and relevant for that month. For example, now we are doing something on the discussion on Kodaikanal, how when Bhagwan used to take boys to Kodaikanal, what are the different messages that directly and indirectly, consciously and unconsciously, you know, boys used to get from Bhagwan. So it is either something that is happening in the world and the reflection of it in terms of Bhagwan's teachings, in the light of Bhagwan's teachings, or it's an event that is happening in Prashanti Nilayam, and what is the right way of understanding the significance of that event. So this is what has been the guidelines while selecting the topics for this Thursday night series, Outside, Inside and Deep Inside.
What training did you have to host such a live show?
Well, what training did I have? Well, I think just like all of us here, none of us had any training in whatever we are doing. We just joined Radio Sai with that josh, with that enthusiasm, with that, you know, drive to do something for Swami, and we've learned all the on the job, and it is the same for everyone here, and it's not in any way different from me. Before the Thursday live started, and before we started, you know, concentrating on making programs for the radio in a big way, which has happened in the last 2-3 years, before that a lot of energy was spent on the e-journal, Heart to Heart, and from 2004 till 2009, when we had this monthly issue of Heart to Heart, I was completely involved in it, you know, editing the journal and writing for the journal. And that was like a 150 to 160 pages journal every month. It was a tremendous challenge. On the 31st of every month night, we uploaded this journal. So that experience of working and writing and editing this journal for 5-6 years, I think that has really helped a lot, in terms of generating content now for the live shows. A lot of content that we've worked together and generated in this last 5-6 years, that in some ways gets reflected now. You know, that really comes in handy now when I think of any new program to do on Thursday night. You know, suddenly so many thoughts come in, so many beautiful ideas come in, and it's, I think it's all because of this past rigorous rigmarole that we went through for 5-6 years, you know, all the time just churning out articles at a tremendous pace. So all that experience has really helped now, and it's really coming in handy when we are trying to do this live program. Because apart from talking, what we really need is content. So content is coming. So once content is there, and then if you can do a discussion, if you can thread it well, and if you can speak properly, I think a lot of it is in place. Apart from this, I think working with GV sir is a very learning experience with Professor Venkatraman. He's such a man of wisdom, he's a colossus of wisdom. So working with him definitely gives new insights into various things, new insights into Bhagwan teachings, new insights into how to look at various episodes of India, various episodes of the world, how to look at the society around. I think a lot of very beautiful perspectives just gets into your personality as you work with him. And I think that is part of the training which has helped in doing this live programs and thinking differently. Apart from that, of course, the reading of Sai literature and just that motivation that let's do something, you know, that drive, just that intense feeling that we have to do something. I think if that is there, many things fall in place. Swami, above all, I mean, it's definitely Swami who takes care. But if you ask me what training, I think it's all these things, doing this heart-to-heart journal, working with Jeeva sir, doing a lot of reading, and also, of course, a lot of listening. Listening to all the other radio programs, you know, be it BBC or be it NPR, be it On Being. There are a lot of very beautiful programs. You don't get enough time to do as much of listening as you'd want to. But I think all these things, going within and also seeing outside, everything has contributed in this whole process of training us for this program.
What have you learned in this journey of 52 weeks?
What I have learned, well, plenty. There is, it's an ongoing process. You keep learning. This program has definitely given tremendous confidence. What I was 1 or 2 years ago and what I am now, I can see in myself there's a tremendous change. And now in terms of my confidence levels in doing any radio program or, you know, talking about Bhagwan, learning to put together something very quickly. So, because here you confirm to a rigorous time schedule. You know, earlier it was a monthly journal that had this deadline, and now this is a weekly deadline, and a weekly deadline for two programs which have so many elements into it. So there is not so much time, because this is not the only thing that we do. There's plenty of other things also that we are involved in. Be it the website, or be it the archival work, or so many projects that Professor Venkatraman has taken up, or the products. So there are many aspects to it. So this is one of the activities that we are involved in. So definitely a lot of learning has happened in terms of time management, in terms of learning to put these things together quickly. And as I mentioned, tremendous confidence, and finally, you know, believing and getting confirmed in this faith again and again that, you know, the moment you think you are doing, nothing is going to work. The moment you think Bhagwan will take care, everything is going to fall in place. Having this realization, the moment you forget, you know, something happens, and Swami ensures that you come back to this realization time and again. You come back to this realization, the quicker the better. So Swami ensures that. So I would say the whole thing has been a great learning and a great progression on the spiritual path. For I think it's the same for each one of us, everyone who is involved. Everyone has grown spiritually doing this program, and it's the same for me.
Looking back in hindsight, Bishu, what do you recall as your fondest moment or moments of hosting it over the past 1 year?
Well, every program is definitely very, very enriching. I have loved every program that we have done, because everything has something so beautiful. Every time you do a panel discussion, such beautiful insights come out. Every time you do a bhajan classroom, such beautiful messages come out. So I think every program has been very, very enriching. But if you ask me what are my fondest memories, well, I think the first time when we did Thursday Life, I think that was a very interesting experience. We were full josh, we had so much of enthusiasm, and it really went off well. And I remember that day Mr. Naganand, one of the trustees of the Media Foundation, he was here, and I just invited him to come to the studios to watch it live that night. And he did come to the studios, and the next day he went to Bangalore. Actually, Professor Venkatraman was not here at that time. And so when he went back to Bangalore, he met Professor Venkatraman there in Baba's hospital there, and he mentioned to him about Thursday Live. And Professor Venkatraman actually was not aware That we have already started this. We were talking about this, but we had in a moment of real inspiration, we just started it. And when Mr. Nagaran told Professor Venkatraman that I heard this live, and then Professor Venkatraman said, "I can't believe this. Did it really happen?" And he was so surprised and he was so happy when he came back. Then we updated him about how we took this leap, and he was very happy because he always encouraged us to do different things, to step up and always raise the bar. So he was very happy. So I think that was a very beautiful moment for us when this whole thing came as a surprise to Professor Venkatraman. And the first time, then once when we started doing this telephone conversations, I think that was again something very thrilling. We always wanted to do this because there was this constraint of not being able to have someone on the program because he's miles away from Puttaparthi, or someone can just cannot come and drive down or fly down just for a program. And so we explored this option of talking to them over phone, and we did that quite a number of times. And that was again a very thrilling moment because so many things have to fall in place. There should be no technical glitch, and the phone lines have to be free. We didn't have anything dedicated, so we were depending on the same network. So, but on 9 out of 10 times, it worked out. So those were really thrilling moments when you were able to connect with someone in Delhi and, with an old student in Delhi or an old student in Bangalore, and they were able to share. Of course, we have not done many telephone conversations since then, but whenever there is a real need, we still do it. And in fact, now we are getting better infrastructure so that we can do this in a more seamless manner and with better technical quality. And there have been also occasions, when people have driven from Bangalore just for this Thursday night program. When we did this program on Gayatri Mantra, we did 2 episodes and there were people who drove down from Bangalore. So there have been so many occasions like this, Every program, in fact, as I told you, every program has a story, and each story is something just leaves you inspired, and you sit back, and then when you reflect on it, you see how it is Swami's hand who has made it happen. Even the recent program, the last program, I wanted to do this discussion on Kodaikanal, and the people that I had in mind, somehow they were not free or they were not in a frame of mind to come. And so, till the last minute, I was wondering what to do now. People who have promised that they would come, they have backed out now. How do I do this program suddenly? And a lot of boys are not here because it is summer vacation, and a lot of them have gone on pilgrimage and so on. And then suddenly I think of someone, and I was very skeptical whether he will come. But, he agreed. And when he came and he shared, and the kind of things that he shared was so profound. And I was, when I reflect on it, it's just Swami, Swami ensured, ultimately it is His will that prevails, and it is His will that is the best. So every time it's like that, Now when you reflect on it, you feel so good that, the other people are not available, and I got this person because this person shared something. I don't know if anyone else would have given that perspective. So if you look at every program like this, it is completely, when you surrender to Him, it's completely Swami who's taking care. And the more that feeling is there, and the more you operate from that space, things work out so beautifully. So I think every program is memorable only because the way Swami has made it happen, and the way you see the invisible hand of God making it happen. I think that is what I would say is the most precious part of preparing these programs. And of course, I have to mention the feedback also that we receive, because when you do a program as an offering to Bhagwan, and where is this Bhagwan? Now Bhagwan is there in each one of the listeners. If any of the listeners are happy, if they write back saying, okay, we heard the study circle, and after that we have decided that we will change our life in this manner, or we have heard this program on Gayatri Mantra that you did, and now we have taken to chanting this mantra and understanding the importance of this Gayatri Mantra, or you did this article and program on Professor Kasturi, and we've learned, even though he was so close to Swami, what the different trials and tribulations that even he had to go through, that has really given me a lot of confidence, and to stoically and with fortitude take whatever happens to my life. So whenever you get people who have benefited from these programs, how it has helped them, I think that those are moments of really deep satisfaction and fulfillment. Just like for a doctor when a patient comes back healthy and smiling, you know, there is no moment better for the doctor. After all that effort that he has put in to help the patient, you know, if the patient can lead a normal life, there is nothing else that you need. The monetary reward is nothing compared. So similarly, I think for every one of us, you know, when you listen, when you get a feedback from a listener saying, you know, we have heard your program and this is how it has helped us, I think that is the fulfillment of our efforts. And that is, I think, for me, the most precious moments. And realizing that it is ultimately not me who's doing it, but constantly reminding myself that it is Swami who's making it happen.
Finally, how do you cope with so much on your plate? You're hosting 2 live shows a day. That's a lot of work. How do you deal with it?
How do I cope with it? Well, as I mentioned, it's not just one person. There are a lot of people working. It's a team effort. And Swami takes care. That's all I would say. You want to do something, just like Swami says, in this land, if you have a pure thought, there will never be dearth of resources. I think it's the same here. You know, when you have a very noble idea, if you have a beautiful thought of conveying something good, you want to do something positive, I think the universe just works with you to do it. That is the power of love. That is the power of Swami working. I think that is the reason how it is happening. From our side, it is just the commitment and the dedication, or whatever we call it, our love for Swami or whatever. So try and spend as much time as we can in the studio. Most of the time, as for me, you know, when you are not eating or sleeping, I just love to be hang around in the studio. So most of the time I am here. How do I cope with it? I think it is just Swami's grace and trying and stretching ourselves to the limits to whatever extent we can. And that is what made it happen. And that is how you go with this attitude, and then things just happen.
Thank you to all Thursday Live hosts for sharing this insider information with our listeners on the first anniversary of Thursday Live. As we complete the 52 weeks of hosting Thursday Live, I wanted to review the experience through Hindsight 52. Dear listeners, I hope you have enjoyed the stories from your hosts at Team Radio Sai. Thank you so very much for inspiring us to work hard and keep at it with all that it takes to make Thursday Live a really live wire and lively show. As you heard it from each host, our aim is to please Swami by pleasing you. Thank you, and Sai Ram.